Hashem, Moshe, Ahak Ve'aharen, V'amart Aleihem, L'nefesh L'yitam Ba'amav. Speak to the Kahan of Ne'aharen, and you should say to them, they should not be metame to a nefesh, to a dead body. So I saw a beautiful shot from Rav Yonison Eibshitz here. The last pasuk in last week's parasha speaks about Oiv and Yidoini. It says, "V'yisim likidoshim, yishvi kadoshim, yikikadosh ani Hashem, la'ab eschem and la'am liyosli." I separated you from the nations to be for me. V'isha isha, ki yivahem oiv and yidoini moishi mosi. If you have oiv and yidoini, these are certain things of communication with mason, that with the misa v'evin yirgum oisham d'mehem bach. And right away, the first parasha over here is by Kahanim l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. What are the smichas between the two? So Dr. Yonison Eibshitz, by the goyim, the derech was to go to their priests, and they wanted to find out the future. They used to ask their priests. And where did their priests find out the future from? They were the derech shalom medicine through Oyvim Yidani. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ba'abdul Eschem, Limi Kola'an, and I separated you from all the nations. And your zikr now ought to be Isaac in that. The Maisi gave us a way, an opportunity, to yet find out the future. How? We go to our Kahana, and their Dairi is in the Urim V'tumim, and that is Kodosh through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the way we find out the future. We want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do with Dairi in the Urim V'tumim. So for that, the Torah tells us that there shouldn't be any Maris Ayin, that the source of our finding out the future is the same as by the Goyim. The Kohen has to separate himself totally from Tumah. There shouldn't be any kshash whatsoever that the Shayrish of our finding out is the same as by the Goyim. Als the Maris Ayin Shavoy, the Torah says over here, L'nefesh L'yitam Ba'amav. The Goyim, their priests, they find it out to the Kohen HaTumah. You have to separate yourself from the opposite extreme to have no Shaykhis to Tumah's Mace. This is the Rav Yonison Eibshitz says this pshat, the smich is between the two pshat. Those is eight. Next, the pasuk goes on. L'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. Another shot in why the Torah was so machmed in Tumas Meis. The Shemi Shmuel asks a question. There's many Tumas. There's Tumas Nevela, there's Tumas Zog, there's Tumas Mitzayra, and these are chumriyistik Tumas. Tumas Zog is a very chumriyistik Tumas. And yet you don't find that the Torah's Mazir Kahanim against those Tumas. Vosef is Dafke, the Torah's Gezer on Tumas Mace, that a Kohen has to separate himself from Tumas Mace. So the Shem Yishmul says, if you analyze what a Kohen stands for, and you analyze what Tumas Mace represents, you'll see that the two are mutually exclusive one of the other. They are two hafeichim, the Kohen is the symbol of life, and it's the opposite of Tumah, which is a symbol of Misa. He quotes a Ramban, Nifladika Ramban in Parshas Bereishis. The Ramban says in Parshas Bereishis, he quotes from the Chachmei Anshei HaTeva, that's the Greeks, the Goyish scientists, that claim that Misa is the most natural thing in the world. And from the beginning of the world's creation, it was predestined that man had to die. Why? Because a yois man is composed of different ingredients and different forces. He's made up of afar, he's made up of esh, he's made up of ruach, he's made up of mayim. And there's different components in Adam. And it's the natural tendency of a component to want to go back to its source. So it's the natural tendency of afar to want to return to the ground, and wind to return to its source, and water to return to its source. So this is only a temporary bond of all of the different components. But by its very nature, it cannot remain together. A person is bound to die. Zok the Ramban. But the Chachamim say lahepach. The Chachamim say that had it not been for the chait of Adam HaRishon, a person would have lived forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, B'yoyim ha'chol chomimenu, mois tomus, only with the eating of the Eitz Hadas, that's when Misa was nigzra ala Adam. But the natural tendency of Adam was to live. Why is that? So the Shem Yishmul explains. He says, while it's true by other Bali Chayim, that eventually they have to return to dust, but a human being is different than everybody else. A human being, mitchilas b'yosei, was meant to live forever. Why? Because a human being is a guf and a neshama together. A neshama is a chelek alei kamimah. And therefore its natural tendencies, its natural tshuka, is to want to be mizdavei da'a Kodesh Baruch. If the neshama is nurtured properly, it does Torah, it does mitzvahs, and it's kadosh v'tahor, there's such an overpowering force to attach itself to Hashem that it pulls the guf together with it, and the guf does not have a cheshik to go back to the ground. This is the way life would have been had it not been for the Eitz Hadas. When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he became a Yedei HaTovara. His natural inclination to attach himself to Hashem became weakened. And the Melech, it wasn't such an overpowering force within him to attach himself to Hashem. And Melech, the Guf, did not get pulled along with it. Now the Guf pulls him in a different direction. And then the Shem attack and pulls upwards, but not with the same force. And on that it was Shaykh V'yayimachol Chamimenu, Moish Thomas. The Obis HaKadoshim, they worked to bring back Adam to the Madrega, Kaidim HaChet. This was the Ikar Avodah. And Kaihanim, their Ikar Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is to bring Shemaim and Oretz, which means the Neshama and the Guf together. The Korbanos were meant to blend the two worlds together. The Ketores means a Kesher, to tie a bond between Shemaim and Oretz. When that bond is strong, there's chiyus, v'atem adveikim Hashem alekeichem, chayim kulchem hayayim. It's only when there's a breach between Shemaim and Oretz, and a breach between the Guf and the Neshama, that the Guf wants to return head downwards. But Kol Zman, there's a strong kesher between the two, there's an upwards pull of the Neshama, and it pulls on the Guf, there's no tug of war within the Adam. They both aim for the same purpose, v'atem adveikim Hashem alekeichem, chayim kulchem hayayim. In the Melech understood, the Kain, the symbol of Chiyus, is the opposite to Hepuk of Tumis Meis. Tumis Meis represents the breach between Guf and Neshama. The Neshama leaves, it leaves the Guf behind. And the Guf, the tug of the Neshama was not strong enough to bring the Guf along with it. Mashen Kain, the Kain, his purpose is the opposite of what Misa represents. The Melech, he is allergic to Tumis Meis. Other Tumis, there's other Tumis as well. Over Tumis Meis specifically, that is the Hepuk of what the Kain stands for. The Melech, the Torah tells him to be merachim bedachta from Tumis Meis. There's a Niflidik in Medrash. Just to give an example of this bond between Guf and Neshama, how when the Neshama's force is overpowering, it pulls the Guf along with it, and it's inseparable. The Medrash tells us that when it came time for Moshe Rabbeinu to be Niftir, no Malach would go anywhere near him. They were scared to go anywhere near Moshe Rabbeinu to take away his Neshama. Malach HaMavis was afraid. Other Malachim were afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come down to Chvoydei Uva'atzmai to coax the Neshama out of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem comes down to Moshe and he starts speaking to his Neshama. And he says, Neshama la Neshama la. He says, I gave you a set amount of time to be in the Guf of the Tzaddik. 120 years are up. Now your time has come to go back up to Shemayim. And the Neshama started pleading, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I want to stay in this Guf Kadosh V'Tahor. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. I don't want to separate myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you come up with me, you let me take you, I'll put you up, mamish, 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 by the Kisei HaKavid, right under the Kisei HaKavid. You will be on top of the Srafim and on top of the Kruvim. And Afal Pikein, the Neshama did not want to go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to remove the Neshama. He gave Moshe Rabbeinu a kiss. That was a Mises Neshika. And he brought the Neshama up to Shemayim. There is a perfect example of how the Guf became so Kodesh that even the Neshama, that was the force that pulled it along, it didn't want to separate itself from the Guf. That's how Kodesh the Guf became. In 1948, there were many times throughout history that the Russians tried flattening the Vilna Cemetery. It was on flat ground. It was a big piece of land. Napoleon tried it unsuccessfully years earlier when he entered Russia. But in 1948, the Russians decided to build a stadium, a sports stadium, on top of the Beis HaKadosh, which is a terrible tragedy for the Yidden. Then after World War II, that Vilna suffered so terribly, and now this was Shever al Shever. Imagine a very, very great tragedy for them. The Maisa, they tried salvaging some Kvarim. One of the Kvarim that they salvaged, and they reburied the Vilna Gaon in a different cemetery, and Teich HaDvarim, they opened up his Aron there, and the Guf was perfect. This is 150 years after he was Nifter. The Guf, hair in place, the beard in place, as if he was just sleeping. What's the uptight of that? Now, Ofer Toshev is the Pshat, when the guf pulls away from the neshama, then it goes back to its natural tendencies to be part of the offer. The Vilna Gaon, his neshama was so overpowering that it schlepped the guf along with it, that even la'achmar misa, when the neshama went up, the guf still had an upward pull. It would not go down into the offer. That is the symbol of perfection. That is what the kahanim represent. And this is why the kohen is the antithesis of what tumas meis is. And that's the tumas meis. There's other tumas. Of course, the Torah does not want a kohen to be metaneh himself to other tumas either. But the specific warning is set against tumas meis because the kohen is the symbol of chiyus. He is the symbol of the bond between Shemayim and Oretz, which is dveikus and Hashem. And meis is the exact opposite. As I learned up the Shem Yishmuel. The pasuk goes on to say, "Lo yikruchu karcha bereisha." They should not make any bald spots in their head. Upaas yikarnam leigalech. The edges, the corners of their beard, they should not shave off. Uvivsarim lo yisritu saratas. Then the next pasuk is, "Kedoshim yiyu leihayhem." They should be kadosh to their God, and they should not defile the name of Hashem. So Shulei Diskin gives a reason why the Torah asks Layikruchu Karcha Bereisha. He says this Kedoshim Tiyu Yihyu is a reason for what? Not making bald spots and not scratching scratches into their skin. What is the issue? He says in the olden days the Goyish priests for Rabbi Nizara used to shave their heads in a certain way to look different than everybody else. They used to make bald spots, they used to round off their heads, they used to scratches into their skin in a certain way. Why? To show that they're different than everybody else. Shulayv says, they had to show that they were different than everybody else, because Be'etzim and their pnimiyas, they were the same as everybody. The same znus, and the same hashchose that you found by the Hamoinam, you found by them. So, they had to make some difference, they had to show that they were different in a certain way, so it was a chitzonius dikki difference, but Be'etzim and their pnimiyas, they were rotten. So that the Torah tells us, Kedoshim Yiyu Leilayim. By my Kehanim, I want them Be'etzim to be Kodesh. Their separation should be that they're on a higher Madrega in Pnimius than everybody else. Not that they should have to make bald spots in their head to differentiate between them. That means nothing. That is a joke. Right? The Ikar is that the Pnimius has to be different than everybody else. In their Pnimius, they will be different. There's a famous Maisa, Tziyadua, that the Satmar Rebbe, Yoyel, Zechitzalik, the Kodesh Lebracha, he was very much Machshir, Mr. Mike Tress. Well, he was icing in Ban Hatzol, and he was icing with Aguda, whatever. So one time in the street, he saw Mr. Tress walking. He greeted him warmly. They started schmoozing. So afterwards, one of the people close to the Rebbe said, he doesn't have a beard. So the Rebbe said, he says, La'achem e'vesim shana, when he's going to come up to Shemayim, they're going to say, Rebid, where's your beard? When you come up to Shemayim afterwards, they're going to ask you, Rabard, where is your yid? In other words, the beard is taka, an important thing, if it represents the shleimus ha'adam, the shleimus tzuris ha'adam. Now, obviously, if you ask a question like that about such a person, you don't understand what life is all about. Rabard, where is your yid? But by the Qumran, that's what it was. Bald spots and scratches and rounding off their hair, because in their pnimius they were mushkas, they had to make simonim on the outside. By kehanim, kedoshim yiyu leilayhem. Your difference has to be, you have to be outstanding in your inner kedusha and not make chitzonius the differences between you and everybody else. The Torah says of kehanim, they become tamei, let's say to a sheretz where it's one day of tuma, so the table in the mikveh, uvo hashemesh v'toher, the sun will there'll be sunset and they'll be purified, va'achay yoichum and akotchim, and afterwards they'll eat from truma kilach mayu, because that is his lechem. So there's a beautiful vort over here from the Avnei Nezer, the first mission in Masechtas Brachas, me'emos haikorin shema ba'aris. From when could you learn Shema, Kriya Shema, Shal Aris? Mishosha Kahanim Nichnosim Lechel B'Chumosim. From the time that the Kahanim go to eat Chuma, Atsoif HaShemayim HaRishayim. So the question is, why did the Mishnah give such a Zmanim? The price of the Gemara brings down this other Zmanim. The Zmanim says Tzeis HaKoychovim. So just say Tzeis HaKoychovim. What is the Mishosha Kahanim Nichnosim Lechem b'trumosan, what is the connection between Kriya Shema and the Kahanim being Torah to eat Truma? So Avinezer says a very nice pshat. The Kohen was already tovel in the mikvah. He already purified himself in the water, but still there's Tumah that remains with him until the night. What happened all of a sudden with Seisa Kechavim? What happened? A whole day he was Tameh, now with Seisa Kechavim he becomes Torah. You see from the fact that a Kohen becomes Torah, that at night with Seisa Kechavim, it's a totally new segment of time. He left the old Chalik of time. He's in a totally new world. And his previous Tumah is bottle, and now he's Tahar. If that's the case, if Seisa Kechavim does that, it's a simon that my initial Kabbalah's Om Al Hashemayim of during the day, that already wore off. It's time to recharge the battery again. The same way we got the Tumah. You were Tamei a whole day, even after you were Tavel in the Mikveh. But until Tzeisek Rechavim, the Tumah remained. Now that Tzeisek Rechavim comes, that old Tumah falls off. You're a new person, you're Tahar. If that's the case, you're a new person, Lagabi Achilas Truma, then it's the same thing, Lagabi Kriya Shema. A person has to recharge his battery. He has to recharge that Om Al Hashemayim. And the fact that you recharge your Om Al Hashemayim in the morning, that already wore off. Time to recharge the battery with new Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. So Truma, the Tzeisak Rechavim, which is Matur the Kayin from his Tumah, to eat Truma, that shows me it's a new Tkufa now. And in the middle, the Tumah goes off, but at the same time, the Kedusha, that you will makabal on yourself in the morning, the Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim or Kriya Shema, that also goes off. Those are davening days. There's a nice pshat over here that I heard, that I saw, from my Rebbe Rabbi Isaac Ozman, it says in the Pasuk, by Dabar Hashem al Meshalema, Shor oy kesev oy eiz ki yivolid. An ox, or a sheep, or a goat, it'll be born. V'ho yeshivas yomim tachas imay. 7 days it should be under its mother. U'miyoyim hashmini v'holo, from the 8th day and on, yeirotza l'korban, it'll be accepted as a korban. Ishel Hashem, a fire offering to HaKadosh Baruch. What's the reason for that? Why can't you shecht a behemah right away when it's born? Why do you have to wait 8 days? So the Medrash says a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants 8 days should go by, then you know for sure Shabbos passed and the Shabbos was Makadosh the behemah. If 8 days go by since it's born, you know for sure that there was a Shabbos here. Shabbos is Makadosh the behemah, so now it's fit for a carbon. The Medrash says that this is also the reason why Mila is on the 8th day. The child goes through 8 days, you know for sure it went through a Shabbos. Shabbos was Makadoshit, now it's fit for Bris Mila to become a full-fledged Yid. I was thinking to myself, it could be that that's also the meaning of the Shalom Zohar. Because if Shabbos is Meroimim, the child, that's a special simcha. The child comes down here. He was up in Shemayim, Moli, Kedusha, everything was beautiful. Comes down here to this Gashmizdika world. It's in turmoil. Comes Shabbos, but Shabbos, but Menucha, Shabbos, he has Kedusha to it. So it feels much more at home now, a little bit like it was up in Shemayim. But before Shabbos, it's like in turmoil, it's lacking that Kedusha. So my Rebbe Rabbi Isaac Ozman said, you have a little baby that doesn't have any das, has no idea what Shabbos is. And Shabbos Kodesh can be Makadosh it and turns it into a different person. It should be fit for Mila. But the Behemah certainly doesn't have any das, right? And yet Shabbos is Makadosh it to make it fit for the Mizbeach. So what should a human being with das say? A person has das, Bar Shabbos, Bar Menucha. He has the opportunity of utilizing that Kedusha to learn over Shabbos, to say over the Brei Torah, to do Einik Shabbos, L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could you imagine, Kal V'Chaymer, Ben Benoi Shal Kal V'Chaymer, what the Shabbos Tuzim for a person, what it accomplishes for a person with das that's able to utilize the Shabbos the way it should be? A little baby has no das. A behemah zikr has no das. Shabbos has such a kayak. Kal v'chaymer ben benoi shel kal v'chaymer. What it's poil on a person that utilizes the kedusha of Shabbos. There's a wonderful part that I saw over here from the Shem Yishua. Pasuk speaks about the mayadim. It says v'heinu v'es ha'omer l'fnei Hashem. Minchas ha'omer. It's on the second night of Pesach. They went out into the field and they harvested barley. And the next day, the Kohen brings the Minchas HaOmer, which is matter the new crop to be eaten. The Heinevesh HaOmer l'fnei Hashem, he should wave the Omer in front of Hashem, l'rtzayim to get favor, The day after Pesach, the first day after Pesach, is when the Kohen does this. So number one, and then it says, from the day that you did this waving, 7 full weeks, so the Shem Yishmuel asks two questions. Number one, why does it say Shvatim Lachem Mimachros HaShabbos? It says from the day that you wave the Yomer, you know, that's when you start counting. Why does it also have to say Mimachros HaShabbos? Number two, why is it that the Minchas HaYomer is made of barley and the Mincha Chadasha that was brought on Shavuos was made of wheat? So the Shem Yishmuel says a beautiful pshat. Shem Yishmuel says that there are times in a person's life where he's in a down mood. He doesn't feel like he's on a ruchnistic level. Gets a little bit depressed. Like, I'm not anything. How am I going to reach the madrig I'm supposed to be on? Sometimes he's on a high madrig. He feels good about himself. So in the beginning of the days of Omer, when a person starts thinking, I have to build my way up to Matan Torah, a person could fall into a depression. How am I going to bring myself up to that madrig? There's two answers to that. Number one, Mimachros HaShabbos. You're right after the day of Pesach. What happened on Pesach? You were in the Memtesh Shari Tuman, the lowest Madrega of Tuman. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to take you out of that Madrega to reach the highest Madregas. You can still do that again. Look at where you're standing. Mimachros HaShabbos is the day after Pesach. A time of Geula which swept you out of the lowest abyss. And you made it out and you were able to rise to high Madregas. Number two, so Oyman is Michael Behema. The Gemara says it's dangerous for a human being. Chitim is Michael Adam. Look at the future. Look what's going to be on Shavuos. Now, Taki, you feel down low. You feel like a Behema on a low Madrega. But look, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There is man under the Mesugel for Bnei Adam. It's Mesugel for you to eat wheat. That's the way a person has to live. A person has to live with the future in mind as well. Right now, you don't feel so great over this light at the end of the tunnel. It was always like that throughout the history of the Yidden. So look ahead. Look at Shavuos when they craft Chadosh al Hashem, and that will give you koyach right now. Somebody once asked the Panav Zhirov. Panav Zhirov was a brilliant, brilliant fundraiser. Brilliant businessman for, in addition to being a goy nifla admaid, but he did tremendous things as far as raising money. But he also did with Kufas when he was a tremendous Baal Chayv. I mean, Mamish had a tremendous burden on his shoulders. So somebody asked him, how could you continue to survive with such a burden on your shoulders? So the Pandav Zhirov said that I have a tremendous emunah that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. So it's just one day to carry the burden on myself. You know, it's not so difficult. And every day, there was the achakalei v'cholyim sheyovei. He knew that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And he honestly believed that tomorrow that light at the end of the tunnel will come. So that gave him the courage to be able to survive these chayvus, the tremendous burden, on a day-to-day basis. A person has to know that even if he finds himself now in not such a good matzav, things are difficult, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And it might not come this week, it might not come next week. A person has to live with the future and see that eventually things get better. There's times of darkness, there's times of light. In the days of Shavuos, when he's holding in the beginning, how am I ever going to get there? Number one, you start right after the day of Pesach. They were on the lowest Madrega, Memtesh Shari Tuman. They were nikkel from that. Number two, look at the future. There's the craft of Mincha Chadosh al Hashem. From the barley, you turn into wheat. You turn from the Madrega to the Hema where you feel low. There's eventually light at the end of the tunnel when you're going to be mocked with the Mincha Chadosh al Hashem. Those are the two things that a person has to look at. Pasuk goes on and says, towards the end of the parashah, there was the Mekalel, very sad story of the Mekalel. The person was Mekalel as Hashem. So it says that they carried him out, Vayirgumu Oysei Oven. They stoned him with a stone. Sounds like it was one stone. In Sefer Bamidbar, there's a Maisa where they gave Skila to the Mekoshe Shaitzim. Person went out, he was Mekalel Shabbos, Bepharnesia. And over there it says, Vayirgumu Oysei Bo Avonim Loshen Rabbi. why over here by the Makalel does it say Vayirgu Moroisa Oven Loshen Yachid? And over there it says it Loshen Rabbi. So Meir Shapiro says a beautiful shot. He says over here by the Makalel, everybody knew he was a Rosh. He did a terrible mice, terrible Chilul Hashem. He's Makalel as Hashem. Everybody knew he was a Rosh. They all went out together with the same Achshava to take care of this Chilul Hashem. So by Yigum Uoisei Oven, they were all united in stoning him. That's why it says it wasn't Yachid. As if it was one stone. They were all united in their opinion that this person deserves Misa. Not so by the Mekoshish. Chazal tell us who was the Mekoshish Eitzim, the one that gathered stone, that gathered wood on Shabbos. It was Tzalofcha. Tzalofcha was a tzaddik. He was a chacham. He was Yerushamayim. Why did he do it? He wanted to show what the Einish is for someone that's Mechal Shabbos. So when they went out to give him the Einish, they were not united in their opinion of giving him the Einish. The good people said, "Oy vey, it's difficult. It's difficult to give such a person an Einish. Hagam, he deserves it. They're asking him, how can we do it? He's a chacham, he's a tzaddik." And they went with a heavy heart. On the other hand, they were reshoim and said, look, you know, until now he played the role of a tzaddik. He played like he was a good person. And look, really deep down inside, he's a chayte. So they went, you know, they looked at the bad side of the person. Over there, they didn't go out. It says, the people were not united when they stoned him. By the Mekala, it was all Ba'ahdus. By the Mekoshish, there were different opinions. Over there, it says, have a good job, everybody. Yeah. I live on Carl. What's that? Sure. What? Oh, so probably I'm parked far away.
I just heard of Horace. The Rabbi Schwab says that's why we say. Rabbi Schwab says that's why we say.